My name is Gary Butterfield, he, him.
My name is Kay Ross, she, her.
And you're listening to Best Quality Vacuum, the Duck Feed show about the Vince Gillian universe of shows, not counting Pluribus.
Yet.
At least yet.
Yeah. Boy, if something is on Apple TV, it might as well not exist.
Though, I have Apple TV. Places bend over backwards to give me Apple TV for free, and I still don't watch shows on it. Like, I'm sure that show is good. I'm just waiting for it to end because I remember, you know, being in the Better Call Saul and Breaking Bad late seasons suspense minds.
And also, like, in the streaming hell where we live right now, there's no, like, yearly season kind of deal. Like, I don't know. Next season will be ready when it's ready. Like, man. I don't want to wait 3 years between seasons.
No, I can't. That shit's for the birds.
Yeah.
I've decided not to do it. But I'm sure it's good.
Yep.
And maybe we'll talk about it.
Maybe.
But for now, we're talking about the second season of Better Call Saul.
We have rounded the bend. We have an episode called Switch. This was written and directed by Thomas Schnauz, and it originally aired on February the 15th of 2016.
Yeah, this introduces season two for mostly for good, but one thing that loomed large in my memory, and I also think in this time I'm not crazy about, this is the arc of the show, which I consider playing footsie with Davis and Maine.
Yeah.
We spend seven episodes playing footsie with Davis and Maine, kind of in and out of it. I find that plot irritating.
Yeah.
It's fine, but a weird thing about season two, since they specifically, you know, canonically, they said, we were going to make him turn into Saul Goodman, and we decided not to.
Mm-hmm.
Since they walk that back, there are really good episodes and really good plots that get developed in this, but there are a lot of characters vacillating.
Yeah.
We're going to watch Jimmy go back and forth a bunch. We're going to watch Kim go back and forth a bunch.
Mm-hmm.
Characters just decide something and then decide against it. It's surprising how often it happens now.
Mm-hmm.
So picks up right away with even like a recap of the last scene.
Mm-hmm.
We get to see Clifford Maine, played by the excellent Ed Begley Jr.
Yep.
And Jimmy does not want to work with him.
No.
Jimmy wanted to, he decided not to. Ultimately, he's going to decide to. And then he's going to decide not to.
Yeah.
And Kim's going to decide to encourage him, then decide not to encourage him, then decide to get into scams, then decide not to get into scams,
mm-hmm.
and then decide to get into scams. It's every character vacillates for like the next two seasons.
God, in a way, Lalo did them a favor. Finally got them to commit.
Fucking focus. Lock in, Kim.
Are you good or bad?
Yeah. Just, you know, and all that stuff eventually, I don't want to sound like I don't like it at all. Like, it pays off really well. And there's great individual scenes. And this is the season where, you know, Mike and Nacho start kind of coming to the fore. I love those storylines. It's just, boy, do I not care if Jimmy works at Davis and Maine. I hate Davis and Maine. I understand what it represents, but we've already had so many things that represent a bad fit for Jimmy.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's all bad fits.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen it. We've done it. And we're just going to kind of tease it for like seven full episodes.
Yeah. No. Counterpoint to that. I agree. It is a little bit silly how much kind of like waffling it does. Like, basically it's just both him and Kim are a sine wave, just a little bit out of sync, you know? Mm-hmm. I think that this is where the show starts feeling more like itself. We're recording about two episodes today. It does feel kind of more focused, more directed, which is weird because you start getting more stuff outside of, you know, the main characters. We bring in another point of view character. But I think a huge part of this is that Kim and Jimmy's relationship gets more official. That brings forward more of an emotional core to this, to the entire show, really, to me.
Yeah, I mean, I would buy that. I like their relationship. I just don't care where Jimmy works.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about their relationship stuff that doesn't work. It's the character stuff for Jimmy, whether he wants to be a con man or a lawyer.
Yeah.
We know. Mm-hmm. Like, we know not because we know because of Breaking Bad. We know because it was established really well last season.
Yeah.
You know, I wish they had found a way to incorporate that stuff without making him run in place for a couple seasons.
Yeah.
You know. In terms of that. But I agree with that. Like, I think that the two of them is good. It not only made it official, more official, made it official at all.
Yeah.
It's just a hinted thing in the first season. Like, this is, you know, right out the gate when we start out, this episode is going to say, like, no, it's a thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So, we're going to figure out what's going on with Jimmy. Kim is going to get back into it and we're going to find out that Kim also likes scams and flams a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get a mini story arc with Price. We get a comedy story arc with, you know, just really, really good Mark Proch storyline with Mike.
Yeah. Yeah. Price is very naive and also cheap. Yes. And boy, do we hear a lot about his baseball cards.
It's a really good performance and it's a really well-observed character.
Yes.
You have met people like this mm-hmm. and they suck. They're your least favorite coworker. you have things in common with them, but you wish you didn't.
It's a nerd mismatch problem.
Yes.
It's a nerd type mismatch.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. This is like the worst guy to add to your D&D game. You know, like it seems like he's like, he wants to play.
Yeah.
And he's nice enough, but you don't, the vibes are way off.
Yeah.
Way off.
But this is like, this is momentous because it brings Nacho closer to the main story.
Yes.
And it's like lays track for him to be a POV character that doesn't really start until season three. Mm-hmm. Anytime with our boy Nacho, and kind of what he represents for the thrust of the series is good to me.
Yeah. Love Nacho.
Yeah.
There's not a whole lot of production trivia for this, so we're just going to get into it.
Mm-hmm.
And like every season, this begins with Monochroma Hall.
Yes.
With a little scene.
Yeah.
I mean, when I say little scene, it is a long montage of what it's like to close a Cinnabon.
Yes. But it is not just, you know, like stuff happens. It is more than just closing and Jimmy being a little bit freaked out. He's closing up the Cinnabon set to Funny How Time Slips Away by Billy Walker rules. And as he's, you know, walking to take the trash out, he passes by a janitor who has those funny old radio headphones on.
And gives him a knowing nod.
Yeah.
Which I
love
like.
those radio headphones. Like, yeah. You know, somebody like just sitting up in a baseball park, you know, listening to the calls being played. Yeah.
Yeah.
Gosh, it's more so the case here than in the first episode, but anytime they're in black and white, this is fucking gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
They make a lot of really expressionistic choices. They're going to go full bore when you get to season six, obviously, with that. But even here, they're doing stuff that looks cool, even though it is set in a mall.
Yeah, it's running the point in effectively. It reminds mm-hmm. me a little bit of a more artfully shot thing that used to happen in early episodes of The Office, where mm-hmm. it's like, we just need to show copiers and stuff to show what it's like to be mundane.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing that, but making it beautiful.
Yes.
You know, which is an odd choice. It works. Mm-hmm. I'm glad we don't get one of these at the beginning of every episode.
Yeah.
You know? So Gene goes and takes out the trash, but the door back to the main building closes, locks behind him. He screams and yells. The janitor can't hear him. He's got those radio headphones on, and there's an emergency exit. And the note says an alarm will be called and notify the police. So he is obviously kind of stuck.
Yeah.
He can risk himself, risk his cover, mm-hmm. Basically, or not.
Yeah.
You know, he could succeed, but doing anything that he wants to do or needs to do is going to get him in trouble.
It's his whole situation in a microcosm. Like he is in a shadow realm.
Yeah. And he waits it out is mm-hmm. what he decides to do. You know, 3 hours later, we show the clock and everything. Janitor does show up and he just leaves without mm-hmm. saying anything to his janitor buddy.
Yeah.
And we see that while he was there, he took a piece of rock and carved SG was here on the wall.
Yeah. Worked out great for Brooks.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yep. And then when Morgan Freeman gets here as well,
mm-hmm.
It'll be complete.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Camera zooms in on that slowly. That becomes kind of an image in the DVD packaging and such. Mm-hmm. And we're back at the end of the first season, when we come back from the title, sequence, and we see what happened between Jimmy doing the little ring twist between Marco's ghost calling out to him. And when he goes and talks to Mike, he did go inside. He didn't just turn around.
Yeah. It didn't look like it. It's mm-hmm. like a retcon.
Yeah.
You know, it literally the way it's cut in the first season, it didn't happen. And this time he goes inside to meet Howard Kim and Clifford Maine, and his associates, including Aaron, who's going to be a fun villain,
yeah.
a minor villain of the show, just irritating.
Yeah.
And Jimmy, you know, after saying hi to everyone, pulls Kim aside and he says, this again, they're doing retcons,
mm-hmm.
Says, you know, does taking this job with Davis and Maine mean that we're not going to happen as a couple?
Yeah.
You know, you and I, what's going to happen
mm-hmm.
Here? Again, there have been hints of intimacy
mm-hmm.
before this, but this is really like, it almost feels like they had a discussion at some point in between moments in this. It's interesting. Like season two is almost like a reboot in some ways because they changed that gear.
Well, I mean, they decided to foreground Kim too.
Yeah.
Like they just got so impressed with Rhea Seahorn that they're like, all right, well, let's figure out what we're going to do with this. Right.
Yeah.
You know, previously we got their friendship, their affection, sharing cigarettes, a very intimate thing to do. The kiss when Jimmy found out that he passed the bar, stuff like that. I think it's really important and neat that neither of them can say it.
Yeah.
Like they're going to express affection physically, but like there is not an awful lot of them talking about them whenever it becomes, you know, like emotional and about their status together. They don't say it. They just do it. And by the time it becomes something that is said, it's too late.
Yeah. They don't have that kind of relationship and they never do. Mm-hmm. You know, we're going to find their breakup like many seasons in the future. It's one of my favorite scenes in the show.
Yeah.
Where they actually do start verbalizing things. And the reason why they don't verbalize things, Kim just says it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know, ultimately for their situation. Mm-hmm. This is really important.
Yes.
Really good.
But she gets flummoxed and says, you know, one thing has nothing to do with the other. And Jimmy says nothing at all. Great. And you think like, oh, he's moving to Santa Fe. That's a bit of a drive. Things like, okay, well, I'm going to be going to a different town. You know, like, is that going to affect us? No, he's asking her because he intends to turn it down and he doesn't want it to be that if he turns it down, she, you know, doesn't want to have anything to do with him.
Yeah. And so he goes back and turns it down. Like, mm-hmm. I like to take myself out of the running. Everyone's shocked. Howard's very shocked because Howard was happy. Howard is rooting for Jimmy.
Yeah.
At this point. He leaves. We get to see that conversation with Mike again in full.
Mm-hmm.
You know, was I dreaming it, or do we have $1.4 million on the table? No way you would know. And he leaves. He does the, you know, why did I leave it behind? Why did you leave it behind?
Mm-hmm.
Bit.
Yeah.
A good line. I didn't need to see it again, but if I had been watching the series, with a big time jump, I might have appreciated it.
Mm-hmm.
Getting kind of reminded of this,
getting people caught up. Although that is often the purpose of the in running time, real time as people are watching it. That is often the purpose of like the last time on or previously on.
Yes,
yeah.
It's interesting. Again, I am a little bit irritated by Saul going in and out of this thing, just because we'd seen it before. But I do like this scene. I just wish it had led to him making a more a stronger decision.
We are going to see him like cause a lot of people a lot of pain and grief by his indecision, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, 100%, and there is something, again, there's something there. Like I really love it when Kim starts saying like, maybe I shouldn't have pushed you into this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I like that as well. I just, we did it. Mm-hmm. That's what Marco was about.
Yeah.
You know, like we already had a really emotionally resonant arc about him realizing it's a bad fit.
Yeah.
For him to be in the straight world. Mm-hmm. He goes to the nail salon. Humming smoke on the water, goes to drink the coconut water or cucumber water. And she says it's for customers only. And he like kneels down and drinks it directly out of the tap.
I love Mrs. Nguyen.
Yeah.
I want to spin off with her.
Yeah. She's great. And he goes to his office. He rips down the printed sign in the door. Not doing law. Fuck law.
No longer, a legal establishment.
Yes. Yeah. We get Mike waiting for a price in the garage, the exact same shot. Mm-hmm. And he comes up with his Hummer. This is a legendary vehicle. You should be able to unlock this in Simpsons Hit and Run.
Yep. somebody modded in.
Yeah, it's really special. A yellow Hummer with these flame decals and spinner rims.
It's an H2. A little bit longer, but taller.
Yeah. The watching Mike's expression for doing stuff is really good comedy.
Yep.
In this, especially later when the Hummer shows up at the police station.
Uh-huh.
So Mike just starts walking away and Price says, hey, Mike, don't you recognize me?
It's me, Price.
It's me, Price.
Yeah.
You
may have been confused because my vanity plate reads Playa, or you might have been distracted by my spinning ribs, but I'm Price.
No, I'm still Price. I'm still the old me. And Mike says, we're not going to the meet in that car.
Yeah, no.
I'll drive. Like, this is ridiculous.
This business requires constraint, and that is the opposite of constraint. Like and boy, is Price really attached to having this car.
He's attached to everything. Like, he gets really obsessed with his things in that way.
Mm-hmm.
And Price is getting big for his britches.
Yeah.
Like, what do you even do? You know, I pay you the salary of three people. I love how he calls it a salary. The salary of three people, and you don't do anything. You know, Nacho's becoming alone. I'm just throwing away money. Mm-hmm. You know, Mike says, you know, you can do what you want, but I would not go alone to mm-hmm. this thing. And Mark thinks he's bluffing. Yeah. You know, Price thinks he's bluffing. You know, to get in the SUV, this is the gravy train, and it's leaving the station. I'm going to count down from 10 here. And Price leaves, and Mike leaves.
Yeah. Sorry, I put Mark in the notes there.
Mark Finch.
He's his character from On Cinema at the Cinema to me, always, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we go, and this is kind of the rare scene with no Jimmy, Mike, or Kim, or even Chuck. Mm-hmm. You know, like he's there alone, and we have not, you know, Nacho being eased in as the POV character, as we talked about. You know, and Price is there. We get to see that that he got the high tops package. He's wearing high top sneakers that coordinate with his truck.
It's so weird. Like, I love Nacho putting holes in this as well.
Uh-huh.
Like, you know, so he does that. Nacho knows, you know, there's no old guy here. Mm-hmm. And when he looks at the car, Price is bragging about it. Mm-hmm. You know, talking about having girls. He's like, I have tri-zone climate control. You have a girl in a bikini and a girl in a parka, and they'll both be comfortable. And he says, you have two girls riding this?
You got girls in bikinis?
Yeah. You got girls in bikinis in this thing? Like, what is Price using this for?
What's your lifestyle, bro?
Yeah. We know what your lifestyle is. We see your apartment.
Yeah.
You know, we see your house. It's so weird. But it's again, really well observed for a kind of status symbol for somebody who is never cool, who has a really stupid idea of what cool is.
Yeah. It's midlife crisis is implied here, but also it's like a desk worker who goes and gets real into Harley Davidson, specifically the brand.
Yeah.
Yeah. And while Price is counting the money, Nacho checks the registration in the glove box, and we get his real name, Daniel Wormald, and we get his address. And you know, Mark says, okay, it looks like all the money's there. Do you want to count the pills? And Nacho says, I trust you.
Yeah. Great little line here. Jimmy's on a pool in a country club, here, and we don't know exactly where he's at this mm-hmm. point. It's a hotel, I think, because later they're going to charge to the room. He has this little kickboard with snacks on it. He has his phone in a plastic baggie, something that would terrify mm-hmm. me, but I've seen other people do it.
Yep.
And he's Mr. Cumpston. Cumpston checked in at this point.
That is a name made up on the spot. I love it.
Cumpston.
And Kim walks up. You know, and so this is what a midlife crisis looks like. And he calls it clarity. Once again, anytime somebody says, I'm seeing things clearly now for the first time, fucking run.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, but it is true.
Yeah.
Like in this scenario, like it is going to end up getting a lot of people killed.
Yeah.
You know, Jimmy's clarity. Uh-huh. But he is correct.
Yeah.
This is what Saul Goodman should be doing.
Yep. Clarity, huh? Then clearly explain to me why you walked out on the best job opportunity of your life. Kim is practical.
Yeah. He says, you know, get in the pool, and I will. You know, listen, I'm just being myself. And she goes, I'm going to be in the bar for a little bit if you want to talk, but I'm not going to be there for long.
Mm-hmm.
And they show up at the bar. The waiter offers them the Zafiro and Yeo.
He notices.
Like, oh, he notices
Kim
it,
is
right?
Kim is trying to talk about the job thing. Yeah, she just orders like whatever wine, something with alcohol, please.
Yeah, she corrects him. It does the well drink.
Yes.
You know, but he's like, oh, $50 a shot. I gotta try this. This is a load bearing tequila.
Yeah, you're gonna drink a $5 milkshake, right?
Yeah. And Kim says, you know, he starts trying to charge it his room, and Kim goes, no, I'll pay for it, and we're gonna get cheap shit.
Yes.
At this point. And this is where she says, you know, what happened? Like, something had to have happened in Cicero.
Yeah.
You know, you have this weird pinky ring. You know, you're asking if we have a future. You're doing this. What the hell happened?
Mm-hmm.
And he keeps denying it had anything to do with Cicero.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, it's all of this. Ever since I came to Albuquerque, I've just been trying to make Chuck happy. You know, I got into the law for the wrong reasons. The things I like about it, you know, selling people, convincing people, I don't have to be a lawyer to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Kim keeps saying you're good at this. And he's saying, I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
That's a really resonant thing that happens in real life all the time.
Oh, yeah.
It is very easy to get trapped in something you're good at.
Yes.
Without ever considering if you like doing it. Mm-hmm. If I were ever to like do a commencement speech, I feel like that would be the core of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're kind of trained as kids to, you know, as people to gravitate towards what we're good at.
Yeah.
I get praised for doing this thing. Mm-hmm. That is a poisonous thing to do if you hate doing it.
Yeah.
Like you will just create yourself a prison. That is a way to make yourself miserable.
Yeah. You'll wake up 20 years later, just a wreck. Right.
Yeah. I hate this shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, Jimmy realizes that, you know, but he throws this topper on top of it. People tell me how they see me. It's not as a lawyer, you know, he's internalized Chuck's criticism, but also like, you know, what the Kettlemans said, right?
Yeah.
The kind of lawyer guilty people hire. Mike sees him for what he is, right?
Yeah. And Chuck sees him for what he is ultimately, Chuck calling him out at this point here. The waiter brings over the drinks and they hear Ken Wins from Breaking Bad, a weird cameo, but pleasant.
Yes.
Here. And this is a great performance, like one of the unsung performances in this universe, I think.
Oh, yeah.
He's a stock bro talking a Bluetooth set and it's the worst. you want to snipe this man?
Uh-huh.
You know, like he's just dump it, short it, bro. Where are you getting these things? Short it.
Take a pillow, hold it over that stock's face until you hear the deathbed queef.
Rough. Like you can't hang out with people who say that kind of thing.
No.
And I love watching Jimmy get itchy at this.
Uh-huh.
You know, his instincts, he's got a fucking spidey sense.
He sees a whale and he's reaching for his harpoon, right?
You know, Kim says, you know, what's the plan then? You know, and he's like, I'm just going to be open to the universe. And she's skeptical of this, you know, just walk the earth, no plan, like Jules at the end of Pulp Fiction. They watch a lot of movies. Mm-hmm. You know, Davis Maine is the universe. We're going to find out later that she was very instrumental in setting that up.
Yes.
There is an element of gratitude. Mm-hmm. She had put a lot of work into this.
Yeah.
You know, earlier he talked about, she said, oh, you spent a lot of time getting your law degree. And it's like, that's sunk cost fallacy. That's kind of what Kim is doing as well.
Yeah.
She put a lot of effort into Davis and Maine, and now that has to do something. Like, she meant well. She wants this for Jimmy. Yeah. She's assuming things that he wants that he does not want. Yeah. But she put a lot of work into it.
Yeah. She wasn't privy to what happened in Cicero, and I don't think he ever talks about it.
No.
Yeah. No. And, you know, just like he left town, you know, just crestfallen that he lost his brother, but also that his brother didn't believe in him. Like, oh, yeah. I want to be a lawyer. And this, you know, this clear, obvious way is, you know, closed off. She worked very hard to open up another way.
Yeah. You know, he says, I've been doing the right thing all this time. And where has it gotten me? You know, nowhere. Kim doesn't understand this. And as they're sitting in silence, just listening to Ken on the phone, Jimmy says, come with me and follow my lead. You know, if you want to see what I'm talking about, follow my lead. And we get a scam and flam.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy goes and approaches Ken and just improvs some shit.
Yeah.
This is way beyond me. Whenever I see something like this, like it's crazy.
Yeah.
That like I could play along with something, but I couldn't come up with it.
No. Not in a way that would keep Ken interested, right?
No.
Like Jimmy is incredibly good at managing somebody's attention.
Yeah. And it's also one of the things they scam. So we'll talk about the scene here in a moment, but what they ultimately get from this is hanging out with Ken all night.
Yeah.
Which doesn't sound good.
Yep.
Like, I don't want that. I don't want to scam a play date with Ken.
No.
You know?
No. It's just they can keep the fancy tequila if it comes with a Ken. Right?
Yes. Yeah.
But what he also gets out of it is bonding with Kim, too.
Yeah. Showing Kim, right? Like this thing. Like, this is what I mean.
Yeah.
He says, you know, settle a bet for me and my sister. Is there a limit to how much you're allowed to invest? Mm-hmm. And Ken goes, no, you idiot. He goes, even with an inheritance. And then Ken starts smelling blood in the water. You can't con an honest person.
Right.
You know, Ken says you have to diversify. And Jimmy lets Ken be the expert.
Yeah. You know, just kind of asking very obvious questions, you know, let Ken feel like he's steering.
Yeah.
And he says like, all right, well, you know, we inherited $1.4 million. And Ken's like, hey, come over to this booth, join me. And Jimmy's like, okay, I've got to set the hook. No, we're just going to do it ourselves. We'll just use like an online service, buy some blue chip stocks, right? Yeah.
Throwing a little bit of the terminology around.
Yeah.
To make himself look like a mark.
But also acting uncertain about it. too?
Yeah.
Were they blue chip stocks?
Yeah.
You know, and he's somebody
look like he knows a little bit about a thing, which is the most dangerous place to be.
And Ken's not going to brook somebody just putting something in a mutual fund that's going to beat the market by a little. No, he wants to manage stuff and get a commission. He says, oh, of course you might be putting your money, of course, but you might be putting your money into the Hindenburg or the Andrea Doria or Corky Romano. One of those things that reminds you this is a period piece.
Yeah. So they say, you know, let's chat. They go in a booth. He introduces himself as Victor, and he's about to introduce Kim, but he waits and gives Kim a side eye. There's a lot of face acting in the scene that's really good.
Yeah.
Prompting Kim to step up.
Yeah.
And she makes up the fakest sounding name in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Giselle St. Clair.
Yep.
Which should any Ken should have understood this.
Yes.
But she starts playing along. It's fun for her.
It's fun. I mean, and something that is important here is that Ken thinks that Kim is hot.
Yes.
As well. You know, like, oh, I'm Giselle St. Clair. Like, of course, if, you know, if there's a pretty woman saying this, some guy like this is gonna go along.
Hitman ass name, though.
Yeah.
Like, your target is Giselle St. Clair. 47.
And she starts adding to the story, you know, saying like, oh, you know, or he even remarks on the name. He says, that's an interesting name. You know, where are you from? Or is that Dutch? She says, no, we're actually Boer. You know, our uncle, you know, was in South Africa. That's where the money comes from. And you know, they're getting down to business, and Jimmy asks, hey, Ken, are you a tequila fan? Of course he's a tequila fan.
Yeah. But tequila's good. And Kim suggests the very expensive, you know, Zafiro and Yayo, the very expensive tequila.
Yeah. The same tequila that was poisoned in Salud. Yes.
Yeah. It is a weird recurring tequila in this. It is a bit character that keeps coming back.
Yep.
Cut so much later, they've hung out with Ken. And again, this isn't a good scam for Jimmy in terms of what he's getting from this, but he is showing Kim. Demonstrating. Yeah. And she's showing that she likes it and she's good at it.
Yeah. And she has liked Jimmy. Jimmy has expressed, you know, versions of this. Remember earlier on, she said something like, oh, even your worst day is more interesting. Worst day is more interesting than my best day or something like that. And she had that little smile, you know, Ray Seahorn improvised that little smile when she saw him doing the billboard scam. Yeah. Right.
Like they decide, you know, and it's a parallel with Chuck.
Yes.
In a way where they're both jealous of what Jimmy has.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jimmy is really, really talented.
Mm-hmm.
He does a thing that is in high demand, that is great, that is going to make him rich. Like, it's a very powerful and charismatic thing.
Yes. So they know that the paperwork that Ken has is non-binding. Mm-hmm. So they sign and say, hey, we'll be back in touch. And Ken just goes, wow, just wow. He's like giddy. You know, he's got all of this money he's going to get a commission on. And then he notices the total on the check. Yeah.
Let me get this.
Yeah.
And it's very expensive.
Yes.
Here.
So I did the math. A full 750 milliliter bottle contains 17 US shots. If you take away the one that Jimmy ordered before, they stuck him with a $1,300 bar tab.
Jimmy didn't order one before. He tried to, and Kim stopped him.
Made him get well. Okay. So say it's not a completely full bottle. Even still, $1,300 bar tab, which is $2,384 in today's dollars.
Yeah. Nuts.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. They give Kim the stopper. This is going to be a symbol.
Yes.
You know, and they run out to the parking lot and they're giddy.
Yeah.
They got away with it. You know, they're laughing and they share this drunken kiss.
Yeah.
You know, they look and give this like kiss. This is the best they feel.
Yeah. And this is an amazing decision that they made, especially post Breaking Bad and, you know, how much heat Skyler got, having Kim be into it from the start.
Yeah. Yeah. She ultimately is going to, you know, put a damper on all of this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even in this episode, she's going to start talking about that kind of thing, but it's much more gradual.
Yeah.
It's much more gradual and it's much more subtle in a way that, you know, is makes her more of a character than Skyler was. Like, Skyler's great.
Mm-hmm.
Skyler Haight is stupid, but she, in the early seasons of that show, does function as a plot device
yeah.
more than a character.
Kim is into it. I think. Like, there's something in her that gets a thrill out of it that is fighting against her better sense.
We're going to see it. She comes from Scam as well.
Yeah.
We're going to see her mom. She comes from Scams and Flams.
Mm-hmm.
They both have Scam and Flam DNA. If they have a kid, it'll be full Scam and Flam.
Yeah.
The next morning, Kim's brushing her teeth at her place. You know, they've done the deed.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy asks to use her toothbrush. She says no. And so he takes her finger and brushes his teeth with it. you know, and they're doing banter. Like, one of the reasons why they can't talk about their actual feelings is because they have a banter and movie quote relationship.
Yep.
You know, they have to express their love in other ways.
I've had those.
yeah. It's just, you know, a banter relationship.
Yeah.
This is a real thing.
Yeah. It's like, oh, I'm fine with this. Jimmy makes her spit by saying, wait, do you see what I floss with?
Yes. The implication being one really long pube.
Yep.
I think that, like, is wrapped up in one of those in a floss container.
Yeah.
That is called, like, Sailor's Choice. It comes in a dingy, it comes in, it's crusted like a thing of lip balm.
Jesus Christ.
Sailor's friend.
Oh, good Lord. Anyway. And
Jimmy wants to keep doing this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he the bottle copper, that's, you know, the bottle topper, that's a keeper. You know, how great would it be if we can do this every night? Yeah. And she says, no, you know, we can't. He's like, yeah, but how great would it be?
Yeah.
You know, he wants a girlfriend, Marco.
Yeah.
In a weird way, he's trying to get a Marco he can have sex with.
It's all, get yourself a bang Marco.
Yeah. It's kind of a bang Marco.
Uh-huh.
It's not that shallow, but he does want to have it both. He wants to have this kind of scamming and flaming relationship that is very important to him and the romantic love.
Remember back in the flashback when Marco's like, oh man, just that's, you know, it's amazing, you're an artist, and Jimmy says like, oh, it's good for beer money and nothing else. Like, he is trying to get her to base a lifestyle around what is, I mean, upgraded from beer money to tequila money, but, you know, tequila and money,
as ultimately it's at higher you know, goals and everything, but basically a life of crime. Uh-huh. Like, they didn't actually do anything illegal, you know, in the thing with Ken, I don't think, but that's going to change, obviously.
Yeah. If Ken was worried about the cost, he would, you know, ask about it.
Yeah.
But no.
Yeah. So she has to leave early. You know, they're assigning things for the Sandpiper case, and she doesn't want to get stuck in document review, looming large.
Yeah.
I says, do you have anywhere to go, Jimmy? And Jimmy goes, yeah, no, I got somewhere to go. You know, you good? All good. Like, they can't say anything about what they just shared.
Yes. Then we cut over to Price. The police pull up to his house. It's this tiny little, like, bungalow-looking thing. His Hummer is almost as big as the house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, ludicrous. Here, and they see that immediately. You know, this in the next episode, Mike's going to call it a big flashing neon sign that says, I'm a drug dealer.
Mm-hmm.
And the place has been absolutely ransacked. And Price is freaking out. You know, look what they've done. They're gone, all of them. My baseball cards.
Mm-hmm.
Here. And this is one of the cops who responded to Skylar's domestic disturbance call.
Yeah, an IFT. Yeah.
Yeah, very funny. Like, it just, everybody's back. You know, what a Magnolia-esque confluence of events.
I know, right?
Yeah.
they ask if anything else has been taken because, you know, they're looking around. They're going to point out when they're alone, like, yeah, no, there's still a television there. There's still a computer in there for a shot. You know, and Price says, or Daniel says, you know, cash a fair bit, and then trails off.
Yeah. And he doesn't, he's gormless, you know, in a way that gormless has never been done before, in that he just keeps trying to refocus.
Yes.
You know, I think we're really losing sight of things. The important thing is the baseball cards. I care about the baseball cards.
They're in top loaders, but if they take them out or, God forbid, crease them, you're looking at a 9-point downgrade in a matter of seconds.
They're not, though. Later, they show him the cards and they're not inside those things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a ding. CinemaSin. Like, it's such a weird thing to not have them in, like, graded packages.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's saying this, and the police are really quiet about this. They know what's going on.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
What does you do? What do you do? IT, you know, he's like, oh, I should have gotten to computers.
Yeah.
IT for what? You know, pharmaceutical company. And they're like, whoa.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Price just keeps trying to re-rack them. You know, we're looking through the wrong end of the telescope here. It's baseball cards.
Yeah. So he's got a detailed inventory that he's going to go get for them. Of course, he says.
Print it out.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah.
It says, like, you know, you should look for the high value ones to be fenced first. Check the pawn shops, collectors, question everyone who's committed a crime like this.
I love the police questioning the collectors.
Uh-huh.
Just know having like a Rolodex of baseball card collectors here. They send them out of the room basically to do this so they can check things out. They share a look.
Yeah.
You know, so they look around and they see that one area in front of the couch does not have debris in front of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the same thing as having like a bookshelf door have sliding marks.
Yeah.
Here. They pull the couch out and there's a loose baseboard there that was hidden. That's not where the baseball cards were. So they are reasonably sure something is up.
Yes. Yeah. So Jimmy's back at the club pool. He fishes out his bag phone and leaves messages for Kim. He sees this cartoonish looking like mobster kind of guy. So yeah. Like, I have the mark.
Yeah. And he doesn't know what to do now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he kind of was banking it all on Kim joining him as a crime wife.
Yeah.
And it didn't happen. Like earlier when she said he had somewhere to go, he was lying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, no, he doesn't. So he keeps calling back. Like, he's itchy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is an addiction for him. You know, I'm like a lioness ready to strike. And he's like, oh, you know, when I said lioness earlier, it's just because the lioness does the hunting. I want to be species accurate. I didn't want to refer to myself as a lady.
It's a National Geographic thing.
He looks around and he realizes Kim is not going to, it's not dependent on this, but she's not going to immediately jump into his world.
Right.
You know, and he calls Davis and Maine.
Mm-hmm.
At this point. I really like how Davis and Maine looks.
Yeah.
It's a real, it's like a beanbag tech startup, kind of like a cool hippie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know if you've been watching the Chair Company, but it's like a real Sedona kind of place.
Yeah. My HBO ran out. So I'm going to have to find other ways to get that. But yes. Yeah.
It's a real Sedona kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Cliff greets him and we get to just see him meeting an unending row of people and shaking their hands.
So many suits.
Like a fucking nightmare.
Yeah, it's all set. It's all in slow motion, has like kind of this dreamy soundtrack. He's made it. He's a lawyer at a firm. He has a future. We're going to find out this is partner track.
Yes. Yeah. And his assistant comes in and basically says, we're going to get you a company car and a place. If you want literally anything, I can do it.
Yes.
You know, and nuts. Like a real weird thing to do to a lawyer immediately.
Why do you need this?
Yes. You know, and he's like, we can get you better art. We have a bunch of samples. We can do custom stuff. Just this lick spittle.
Yeah. Know? Just a couple of steps below Jonathan from 30 Rock.
Yeah. Looks a little bit like him too, a little
bit.
Yeah. You know, and he gets a Coco Bolo desk.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, we can do that. No problem.
Yeah. Doesn't even blink.
Yep. The art on the wall is awful.
Terrible.
It looks terrible. This is bad coffee shop art here. And we, you know, so we thought, he's joined the straight world. Nuh-uh. Because he's left alone. He sees a switch on the wall that says, always leave on, do not turn off. He takes the tape off, flips it off. Nothing happens and flips it back on.
Yeah.
I like that as a character touch. That's something that somebody would do. It is, I think, a very blunt visual metaphor.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, maybe a little bit too blunt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a thing, like this demarcation between right and wrong that people are making rules for is not to be respected. It is often arbitrary and false in Jimmy's view.
Yes.
And that's true until it's not.
Mm-hmm.
Kim is going to literally say that next episode.
Yes.
It's true until it's not.
Yeah. If there's anything that is canny about this is that nobody notices, right?
Yeah.
He gets away with it. Yeah. I'm still getting away with it. Yeah.
Yes. After all these years. And that's the end of the episode.
Mm-hmm.
You know, good episode, good season start. I was surprised on rewatching this. You know, I love the Kim and Jimmy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm less invested in Jimmy's career. I was surprised by how much these early parts of the season, because I watched ahead a little bit, is Mike.
Yeah.
Like this is kind of Mike's season and it makes sense with what they were doing structurally with them just retooling.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to slow it down to have Jimmy change. So they did have to have him kind of run in place, but they can't just totally pull focus from him.
No.
We still need to know what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he has rent. We know he has these economic problems. He can't just be doing some scams and flams and courting Kim.
Right.
You know, he has to go back and forth between the crime world and the street world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He, you know, unfortunately needs to have it confirmed for himself that, you know, it's not the right place for him.
Yeah. Good episode, though.
Yep.
Listen, if you're listening to this, thank you very much. We appreciate you. We're going to be back next week. Again, the show is weekly now. If you're watching along, or if you know anybody's watching along or watching the show, send them our way. What else can they do?
If you like us a lot, you can support us on Patreon, patreon.com/duckfeedtv. Keeps our houses hot, and you get a bunch of shows and a lot of content, even for the $5 tier.
Yeah, we think it's a great tier. Mm-hmm. You know, you've heard of 96 tiers. You only need one with patreon.com/duckfeedtv.
What's 96 tiers?
That's a song by the question mark and the Mysterians.
Oh yeah, you know no, yeah, I know that song. I know it from a reference in another song. Okay.
Oh yeah, I know that song. You know the reference from as well.
Yeah. Hey.
Yeah, somebody should reference that song. We'd appreciate that. You can also leave ratings or reviews. As we mentioned, tell your friends, and join us. And thank you, our producer Gwen.
Thank you, Gwen. Also, this episode is coming out between Christmas and New Year. We hope you're having a happy and safe holiday.
Yeah.
If you celebrate.
Yeah, and be safe. That's the important thing.